Shiva Panta Vishata Sam Sritav Iha Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yogo Yato Bhave. For those who are wandering in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means for deliverance than what is aimed at in the direct devotional service of Lord Krishna. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As will be clarified in the next verse, devotional service, or direct bhakti yoga, is the only absolute and auspicious means of deliverance from the grip of material existence. There are many indirect methods for deliverance from the clutches of material existence, but none of them is as easy and auspicious as bhakti yoga. The means of jnana and yoga and other allied disciplines are not independent in delivering a performer. Such activities help one to reach the stage of bhakti yoga after many, many years. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that those who are attached to the impersonal feature of the Absolute are liable to many troubles in the pursuit of their desired goal. And the empiricist philosophers, searching after the absolute truth, realize the importance of Vasudeva realization as all in all after many, many births. As far as yoga systems are concerned, it is also said in the Bhagavad Gita that amongst the mystics who pursue the absolute truth, the one who is always engaged in the service of the Lord is the greatest of all. And the last instruction in the Bhagavad Gita advises fully surrendering unto the Lord, leaving aside all other engagements or different processes for self-realization and liberation from material bondage. And the purport of all Vedic literatures is to induce one to accept the transcendental loving service of the Lord by all means. As already explained in the texts of Srimad Bhagavatam, either direct bhakti yoga or the means which ultimately culminate in bhakti yoga without any tinge of fruitive activity constitutes the highest form of religion. Everything else is simply a waste of time for the performer. Srila Sridhar Swami and all other acharyas like Jiva Goswami agree that bhakti yoga is the only easy, simple, natural, and free from trouble, but is the only source of happiness for the human being. As inquired from Sri Shukadeva Goswami with such intense sincerity, we can evaluate the sincerity of one who is inquiring about the Absolute Truth according to the degree one is willing to put aside within one's life anything in pursuance of that truth. Maharaj Parikshit quite gladly renounced everything for this purpose. Of course, Rupa Goswami explains what is real renunciation.
Prapanchakatiya budya hari sambandhi vashtana mamukshami parityago vairagyam phalgu atyate.
That real renunciation is not to give up something that can be utilized in Krishna's service, but to utilize it in Krishna's service. But who is to tell what could be utilized in Krishna's service, how and when? We must, in this way, inquire submissively and hear from the Lord and His representatives. And we should not be attached to a thing in and of itself, but we should simply be attached to how it can be utilized in Krishna's service. Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die in but 7 days. So it was obvious that according to the tradition of Varnashram, when a person becomes very old, that person gives all of responsibilities to one's son. The king gives the responsibility of the kingdom to the eldest son, who has been trained properly in the path of devotional service. This is very important. The kings of ancient times, who actually understood the real duty of life, they would train their children in bhakti first, than all other things. Example is Maharaj Prachini Barhishat. He was a king, he was also a devotee, he was a descendant of Dhruva Maharaj, and his sons were the Prachetas, and certainly he educated them properly when they were very young, but when they came to the age where they were approaching being adults, and it was inevitably coming soon that they would be to take the throne, he told them to go to the forest and perform tapasya. Because unless they're pure devotees of the Lord, what kind of kings can they be? They cannot be a king. Bhagavatam explains, you cannot be a parent, you cannot be a teacher, you cannot be a king, you cannot be a leader on any level in society and honestly perform your duty unless you can teach your dependents how to be free from the cycle of birth and death. And you cannot teach unless you yourself know and are practicing. Because people will follow the words of a man according to that person's example. We see in today's society how much mistrust and chaos there are in societies, and one of the great reasons is people have no faith in their leaders. Why? Because their leaders are generally dishonest and scandalous. Basically, it is the world of the cheaters and the cheated. Practically in all the nations of the world, the political leaders of society are not trusted at all. Whatever they promise is practically never fulfilled, nor does anyone even expect that it ever will be fulfilled. And the behavior of such persons is always duplicitous and always full of so much selfish motivation. The real spirit of service and selflessness is practically something of the past. So therefore, if you can't follow, and even in the homes, it is very rare that children even feel the protection of their parents, especially in the Western countries. And the example that the parents are showing, if they are not teaching people by their example the proper method of perfecting their life in Krishna consciousness, then what kind of leaders, what kind of parents? It is all just a big part of a big illusion. Therefore, no love, no real concern. So Maharaj Prachini Parihishat, this was his conception. If these people are going to rule the world, they must become pure devotees of the Lord. They must go out and perform tapasya. Get out of the kingdom. Leave your nice beds. Leave your nice food. Go to the forest. Do tapasya. Worship Lord Shiva. Worship Lord Vishnu. They went out. They worshiped Lord Shiva through such severe penance and tapasya. And then Lord Shiva appeared to them and gave them a mantram by which they could see Krishna, Vishnu himself, and achieve the goal of life. And then when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, ultimately appeared before him, he was very pleased. He told them that because all of you are so friendly to one another, you are so united in my service, therefore I am pleased with you. And therefore I will fulfill all of your desires and give you transcendental realization. Unity is something that is very dear to the Lord, because to be unified for the Lord's service is a great austerity. And those who do this are most dear to the Lord and will get the Lord's greatest blessings. As Prabhupada said, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate together to serve this mission. Why? Why is that love? Love means sacrifice. To show love means to sacrifice. Love is not a selfish thing. Love is a giving thing. And the greatest sacrifice in the age of Kali Yuga is to cooperate, because it is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It is the age where we have as many reasons as we want to fight. No shortage. If you want to get excuses why not to like someone, not to work with someone, to criticize someone, to find faults, to make so many excuses of not working together, the age of Kali will supply an unlimited supply of material for you to utilize. More than all the computers could hold in all their memory banks, and more than all the books in the libraries of all the countries of the world, Maya can supply excuses to you why to be uncooperative with another devotee. Because that is the very basic principle of Kali Yuga, quarrel and hypocrisy. So it is a great sacrifice. You have to really, really put aside your own conceptions, your own ego, your own inclinations, if you want to work together. But the Lord is most pleased by that, because that is the greatest sacrifice. You have to be very humble, because when there is ego, there is always a conflict of influence. Everyone thinks, I know best. Everyone thinks that Krishna is speaking through me. But the fact is, Krishna may be speaking through many people, but Maya may also be speaking through many people. So we have to work together, but that unity has to be based on the principle of spiritual purity and direction. Therefore, we have to work together under the guidance of the previous acharyas, the spiritual master, and the senior Vaishnavas. That is how we work together. We accept their opinion, and we put our own opinion second. And in this way, we can actually create unity. And through such unity, we can please Krishna, because we're actually making the greatest sacrifice. And thus, we can make real spiritual advancement, and we can be empowered to do wonderful things. In this way, the Prachetas pleased the Lord, and the Lord gave them transcendental realization. So in this way, in the footsteps of Prachini Barahishat, even though he was actually a very exemplary king and grihastha, but somehow or other he also became entangled in the network of the complexities of material existence. Because it is natural. We find this often, where the Lord gives an instruction to someone that you take this responsibility, you stay within your grihastha ashram, you take these very, very great obligations, and don't worry, I will protect you. Maharaj Priyavrat also, he didn't want anything to do with kingdom, but the Lord said, you do it for me. And he did it, and he became entangled. But the Lord protected him. And through that entanglement, he got many realizations, and then he was rescued from that entanglement. In the same way, Prachini Barahishat, he was such a noble king that he sent his sons to the forest to give up everything just to prepare themselves for their real duty in life, so that they could be exemplary sadhus when they came back to lead the people. But while they were away, Maharaj Prachini Barahishat himself became too much attached to sense gratification because there was so much around him. But no problem. Krishna sent Narada Muni, and Narada Muni preached to him very nicely, and he became completely cleansed of all of his misconceptions, and again followed the true path of bhakti, devotional service. In this way, Maharaj Parikshit, he understood, I have 7 days to live. The purpose of my life is simply to facilitate and protect the right of every living being to practice devotional service to Krishna. And the most important factor in this regard is my own example. Yad yad acharati sreshtas tad tad eve tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokasthad anubharatete. Because what the leaders do, the common people will naturally follow. So Maharaj Parikshit understood that this was not only the purpose of his own life, but it was his greatest service to humanity, to show the importance of Krishna consciousness. And after installing his son as king, he left to the bank of the Ganga to do what? To associate with devotees and to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, and thus facilitate complete remembrance of the Lord. He wanted to show that these are the most important factors of life, more than anything else, to associate with devotees and to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So all the great sages and all the great rishis, they all assembled to help Maharaj Parikshit perform this great service to the Lord. And Shukadev Goswami appeared, as we have explained yesterday in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Shukadev Goswami, that most illustrious son of Srila Vedavyas, was given the seat of honor by all the assembled Vaishnavas and sages, and Maharaj Parikshit fell at his lotus feet. The most powerful king of the entire planet Earth, he subjugated every continent, every province, every town and village of the earth. This was the power of Maharaj Parikshit. But yet, he was bowing his head down with tears of surrender in his eyes to a 16-year-old boy, because this boy possessed within him Krishna consciousness. Maharaj Parikshit conquered the entire planet Earth. In our modern history, no one, however powerful they may be, has even approached conquering the Earth. We have so many great rulers, Alexander, Napoleon, Hitler, Japan, so many. What did they conquer? The British Empire conquered something, but hardly the whole earth. And they really had very little control over it. After some years, they lost everything. But Maharaj Parikshit actually conquered the entire planet. And he had, even Kali himself had to bow down before Maharaj Parikshit. But Maharaj Parikshit understood that one who conquers his mind and senses is a king that is millions and millions and billions and trillions of times greater than anyone who conquers the entire earth. It is a superior position. That is why persons who are in the renounced order, who are said to have conquered their mind or senses, we address them sometimes as Maharaj. Maharaj means great king, as there is Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit, that type of Maharaj is a little king. One who is a king of a country or a world or a planet or a universe is a little tiny king. But one who conquers the mind and senses and keeps them always engaged in Krishna's service, he is actually Maharaj, great king. And therefore Maharaj Parikshit bowed down and surrendered his life to Shukadeva Goswami Maharaj. What was his qualification? He was a 16-year-old naked boy, without a home, without anything. But he had Krishna. He had bhakti. And that is the ultimate treasure of life. Bhakti nidhi. And Maharaj Parikshit wanted that. I want that treasure of bhakti. And I'll give up anything for that. All my power, all my influence, all my money, my family, everything. It is all temporary. It all comes and goes. I want that treasure of bhakti. The only thing that is everlasting and real. And with this desire, he submissively inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, what is the ultimate occupation of life? And what is the duty of a man about to die? This I want to know. If you are merciful, kindly instruct me. And herein, Shukadeva Goswami is beginning his reply to Maharaj Parikshit in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he has described various methods and means by which various types of people approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in this very, very important verse that we are reading today, he is explaining that you can follow so many systems and make so many efforts wandering in this universe, but there is no more auspicious means than devotional service to Lord Krishna. It is the ultimate, the supreme culmination. Bahunam janmanamante jnanapammam papadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlava. That after many, many births and deaths, when one finally comes to the platform of real knowledge, one surrenders to me, Krishna says, Vasudeva, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. That is real knowledge. And Srila Prabhupada quotes here, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarva pavebhyo mokshayishami masaja. That we should abandon all varieties of various religious ideas, social ideas, and we should surrender to Krishna. Nothing to fear if we surrender to Krishna. But within society today, so many obligations, so many complications. And people have no real concern for the soul. Everyone is so much in the bodily concept, like the animals. Bodily concept of life is animal life. Human life actually begins when we are concerned with the welfare of the soul, of ourselves and another. And this, in this great land of India, this was always considered to be culture. To the degree there is actual elevation of the soul and concern for the soul of another. But now it's all just money and education and all nonsense. Money and education only have a value if it's used in the service of the Lord. Otherwise, it's just sophisticated animal behavior and nothing more. Ah, but we have so many ideas. And even our leaders, they care nothing for spiritual realization. Even the education in school, nothing for spiritual realization. And look at society today. There is so much anxiety, so much pollution, so much degradation. And everyone is thinking, why? Why is this happening? Because if you depart our consciousness from its source, then everything will be simply a creation of disturbance in one way or another. So in this way, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining very, very clearly that people are wandering in this material universe, aspiring for so many goals in life. First, they are aspiring for the goals of sense gratification and prestige, material life. Then they realize that actually, unless they monitor their life in such a way that they're acting according to the authority of what is real piety and morality, they cannot even really enjoy proper sense gratification. People are engaged in sinful activities, immoral activities, irreligious activities in the name of enjoyment. And the karmic reactions are so much suffering. So they take to the path of karmakanda. Karmakanda means you want sense gratification, this is the process. You act morally, you act religiously, you act piously, you give in charity, you perform your duty properly, and you will get so many nice things. You will have a good life, you may even be elevated to the heavenly worlds. But avramabhuvana loka punaravata norjana mamupetatu kaunteya punara janmana vidyate. It's all temporary. The results of good karma and bad karma are all temporary. You engage in sinful activities, you suffer, you'll go through that suffering cycle and then finished. You engage in pious, charitable, good activities, you will get so much pleasure and so much wonderful, wonderful opulences. But after some time, those pious activities will be exhausted and finished. So Krishna says in Gita, we should not aspire for any of these things. So people take to the path from karma yoga to sometimes to the astanga yoga or other processes where they achieve great powers. They perform tapasya. And other people, and they can become rulers of the subtle energies and perform many miraculous feats. Others take to the path of jnana yoga, and through very, very severe austerities and very deep discrimination and meditation, one could actually realize the difference between the body and the soul. But Krishna explains here that you can wander through this material universe following a sinful life, following the path of karma, the path of jnana, the path of yoga. But ultimately, it is only bhakti that is truly auspicious. Why? Because bhakti is the process of pleasing Krishna. And material nature is so powerful, so strong, that we cannot get out unless Krishna takes us out. You have no power on your own, whoever you may be. If you please Krishna, he can easily rescue you from the cycle of birth and death. Otherwise, there is no other way. So therefore, it is explained here by Shukadev Goswami that don't waste time with any other direction in life except devotional service to Krishna. Because time is so precious. We do not know how much time we have at our disposal. The idea of being young and old is a very relative and often not a very accurate conception of our particular stage in life. Because as Prahlad Maharaj has said, that you can die at any moment, whoever you are, whatever your age may be. You do not know. Now is the time to become very serious about the goal of life. And Krishna consciousness is the goal of life, to be conscious of Krishna. And how to be conscious of Krishna? That is the path of bhakti. It begins by associating with devotees, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Maharaj Parikshit performed these activities. And through hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the association of sadhus, the result is we remember Krishna. And that is actually the real wealth of life, to remember Krishna. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tejajanto kalevaram tam tam evaiti kontaya sadhata bhava bhavataha. Whatever you remember at the time of your death is what you will attain. If you remember Krishna, you will get Krishna. And you will remember whatever you cultivate most in your life as your attractions and attachments. Whatever we cultivate remembrance of in our life is what we will naturally remember at the time of death. So human form of life is meant especially to cultivate remembrance of Krishna. And the scriptures explain that to remember Krishna, the easiest method is to chant his holy name. Nama Sankirtanam Vishnu Sarava Mangalam. It is the most auspicious activity to remember Krishna by chanting his holy names. Because Krishna is not different than his name. To hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to chant Harinam with the Vaishnavas, is the sublime, easy process recommended by Sridhar Swami, Jiva Goswami, and all the great acharyas. So this opportunity is ours. It is the fulfillment of the teachings of all the scriptures. It is the conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam that we always remember Krishna by hearing his glories and chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Are there any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, you talked about this bhakti yoga, that is the topmost yoga. And in bhakti yoga, we should have that conviction that Krishna takes care of us. Only when Krishna takes care of us, then only we can be protected. Then, still this date I'm not able to understand is, that in Mayavad philosophy or impersonalist philosophy, those Mayavadis, those who do austerities and those who do tapasya, I guess they want to be merged with Krishna, many of them are the sannyasis, those who have taken a vows of celibacy. And they say that they have maintained their vows of celibacy for the whole lifetime. But we know that unless and until Krishna doesn't take care of us, he cannot maintain his celibacy also. So how is it so that those Mayavadis are able to maintain their vows in such a high standard, although they don't have the conviction that Krishna is taking care of them and not by their own tapasya or by their austerity, it has been taken care of, their such a high vows. How is they were able to maintain themselves such a high standard?
One can be celibate without taking to the path of bhakti. There are so many instances. Even Hiranyakashipu, he was celibate for 100 celestial years. He didn't even eat. Of course, after he got his benedictions, he didn't follow that any longer, but still, we are trying one life of celibacy of 60, 70, 80 years. Hiranyakashipu was celibate for 100 celestial years, was he not? Performing tapasya. That's millions of years. Huh? So one can do it out of sheer discipline, but that is not, that celibacy itself will not give us Krishna consciousness. It will not give us the higher taste. Will certainly help to relieve us from being incriminated in the sinful karmas, and it can certainly very much elevate our consciousness in certain material spheres, but it cannot give us, it does not please Krishna. It gives no pleasure to Krishna. And ultimately it is only Krishna that can take us out, rescue us from the cycle of birth and death. There is the example of the brahmachari who wanted to see the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya was having beautiful kirtans in the house of Srivas Thakur every night. And because of the confidentiality of the love of the devotees, they would close all the doors and all the windows so nobody could get in except the Lord's very personal servants. And there Lord Chaitanya would dance, and his dancing and chanting would put everyone in the wonderful ecstasy of Sankirtan. So many people criticized. So many people criticized and made up so many terrible rumors against them. And other people, they really wanted to come in, but they understood that they were not pure enough to do so. So there was one brahmachari, and he was very, very austere. He actually had no sinful desires in his heart at all. And he was perfectly celibate. And he only drank milk, nothing else. So he would go to Srivas every day and request, if just one time you will allow me to come in and see Lord Chaitanya to dance, that will be the perfection of my eyes and the perfection of my life and all my desires. So one day, Srivas, he felt so much sympathy and affection for this brahmachari that he said that Lord Gauranga does not allow anyone in except his close followers. But you are a very pure heart. Therefore, I will hide you in the house so you could see Lord Chaitanya dance. So Srivas gave him a nice hiding place. And Lord Chaitanya came with his devotees and closed the doors and closed the windows, and he induced everyone to begin chanting Harinam Sankirtan. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself began to dance. And as he danced, the ecstasies of love began to manifest, where tears were flowing from his eyes like the river Ganges, his hairs were standing on end, his limbs were trembling, his body was changing colors. In this way, Lord Chaitanya was manifesting what is real love of God in the highest sense of Mahabhava. And everyone was chanting and dancing. Gadadhar and Nityananda Prabhu were embracing in the kirtan, and Advaitacharya was running this way, that way, in all the directions, howling and calling out the holy names and all the devotees were simply in ecstasy, chanting very loudly, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
And the kirtan was getting louder and more beautiful and sweet and rich with the sentiments of bhakti. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped the kirtan. And he said, I feel no ecstasy in my heart. There must be someone in this house who doesn't belong here. Please tell me the truth in this regard. And Srivas replied, there are no blasphemers in the house, and there are no materialistic people in the house. There are no sinful people in the house. But there is one brahmachari hiding. But he's very good. He has a very... He never engages in any immoral activities. He's very pure. He's perfectly celibate. And he only drinks milk. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he became so angry, he raised his hands and he said, get him out of here immediately before I destroy the universe. It is not by drinking milk that you attain Krishna. It is not that by performing tapasya that you gain Krishna. He explained, it is only by devotion. It is only by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna through bhakti. It is not by any culmination of knowledge. It's only by bhakti. What was the qualification of Gajendra? He wasn't even a human, he was an elephant. But because he took shelter of the Lord through bhakti, he achieved perfection. And what tapasya did Hanuman and the monkeys perform? They were also not even human beings, but because they were engaged in the service of the Lord through bhakti, they achieved perfection. And the gopas and gopis of Vrindavan, they were not scholars. They were not doing any tapasyas, but they were doing everything for Krishna through bhakti. Therefore, they achieved perfection. It is only by devotion. And he said, by no other means is one entitled to see my dancing except pure devotional service. It is not by celibacy, nor is it by drinking only milk that one can see my dancing. He said, get this person out before I rip him to pieces. So the brahmachari started walking out. He was walking and he went outside, and as he was walking outside, he was thinking in his heart, I am so fortunate that Lord Chaitanya allowed me to see his dancing for those few minutes. And because of my impurities and my offenses, the Lord has given me a suitable punishment. That is His kindness. That is His mercy. I deserve much worse. I am so grateful to the Lord for chastising me and punishing me in this way. And because Lord Chaitanya seated in the heart of every living being when he heard this brahmachari from within, he understood. He is grateful for my chastisement. He is grateful to me for punishing him. This is a bhakta. This is bhakti. And he called the brahmachari back. And the brahmachari came back, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his feet on that brahmachari's head and gave him Krishna prema. And then he instructed him, it is not by tapasya or any other sort of activity that you can achieve Krishna. It is only by devotion. So yes, Mayavadi sannyasis, they can be celibate their whole life through. They could perform very, very, very rigid fasting. Nobody says you have to be a devotee to do those things. Even demons do those things. But the question is, what is the use? And what is the result? If you do not get Krishna and Krishna prema, then you have simply wasted your time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very much happy to associate with Srivas, Advaita, Pundarik Pudyanidhi and others who were grihasthas with wives and children, Shivananda Sen. Lord Chaitanya would love to chant and dance and associate with grihasthas, have Krishna Katha with the grihasthas, Ramananda Ra. But he would not associate with the Mayavadis, who were very, very strict, staunch celibates, living on the floor, eating very meagerly. He would have nothing to do with them. Why? Because they, by their association, takes us away from the path of bhakti. But a grihastha, who is Krishna conscious, even those in the renounced order of life, the greatest babajis and sannyasis would go to associate with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had a wife and 10 children. They would go to him knowing that he will give us the treasure of bhakti. So we must understand what is of real value, devotional service. Does that answer your question? Any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned in this lecture that what we ultimately think at the time of our death, that would be what we would achieve. And then you also mentioned that throughout our life we should be thinking about that particular thing which we want to achieve at the time of death. Now, at a practical level, for a person in the married order of life who is required to spend practically half his lifetime in looking after his family, looking after his job, what would be the requirement for him in devotional service to be at the same level as, say, a person in the renounced order of life or a person in the brahmachari order of life?
To be on the same level, it depends on which brahmachari or sannyasi you're speaking about. It's hard to compare anyone to be on the same level. Actually, nobody's on the same level. Everyone has their particular levels. But if we want to, we don't want to compare ourselves, but we want to become detached. We want to become detached from material enjoyment, whether we are a sannyasi, brahmachari, or grihastha, and we want to be attached to Krishna in service to Krishna. And how is that? By following the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, by attentively chanting at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day, by having very nice association with devotees who can inspire us to deepen our devotion, by regularly studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other such bhakti shastras, by carefully following the regulative principles, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating, and by utilizing whatever activities we may perform for the ultimate service of Krishna's mission, Guru's mission, by utilizing the fruits of our activities for Krishna's pleasure in this way. If we're grihasthas, we make Krishna the center of our home. We make our children's Krishna consciousness the ultimate purpose of our family relationships. If we do like this, then we can become perfectly Krishna conscious in this life. You may be better than many sannyasis or brahmacharis if you are a truly humble servant of the Lord. But generally, it is very important for grihasthas to admire, respect the principle of detachment that the sannyasis and brahmacharis are following. By associating with such people and honoring and respect them, it gives us a very, very strong spiritual base in our grihastha ashram. It's very important. We should not compare ourselves. We should always feel ourselves the humble servant of all Vaishnavas. But in the sense that the brahmacharis and the sannyasis are living so simple and they've given up so much for Krishna, we should respect that renunciation. And by doing so, by respecting and worshipping that sense of renunciation, that will very much help us to maintain a standard of detachment in our grihastha ashram. So if you do all of those things together, you will go back to home, back to Godhead. Does that answer your question? Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.